sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, welcome back to the Red Light Special. We're back with another episode, man. We've been on the streak a little bit, Chris.
We have.
Yeah, nah.
I'm
not mad at it at all. Actually, this week is special. I say that every week, but this week is special. And I'm going to tell you why in a second. First off, I just want to shout out Jake and Pop for the song Starless. That's our intro. That's our theme song. It's off their album, Sexual Warfare. And it's cool because Jake and Pop is really making moves. I heard they just... they're going out on tour with Tory Lanez.
I think they just did Vancouver, which is amazing.
So, that's dope. And they let us use their song as our intro. Mm-hmm. And we ain't had to pay for it.
Nice.
Yeah. That's supposed to be on the low low.
For real. But we're here, too, man. I wanted to shout out my man KR, man. He got this new video for this song About That, man. I've been talking about this song for a minute. And he dropped the video today, man. I saw it... me on Fader, man. So shout out to KR, man. Some dope shit.
I haven't seen the video yet, but
yeah, so
you put me onto the song, and it's definitely cool. I like it.
Yeah, it definitely fits the vibe. But I just want to get right into this episode, and I'm gonna be honest with the people. Can I be honest?
No other way.
You have to.
Okay. So we got this group right. About a couple of weeks ago, we went out to White Plains. I don't think I've ever been to White Plains before. Me and Chris took a Sunday drive up the White Plains to record a special episode of the Red Light Special. And I fucked up. I didn't have the right mics. The frequencies was off. We recorded an episode, and it sounded like T-Pain and Auto-Tune.
No, that sounds pretty good. That's what we had sounded just... We're here to do it again.
It sounded like Future and Auto-Tune. Okay. Nah, but... So I'm going to go through it.
Let's do it.
This week's guest, we're back for the second time. But this is going to be the first time you heard them, man. It's a new duo. They blend R&B, they blend soul, they blend funk in a very real way. They were recently signed to Epic Records. Shout out to Future. That's their label made, so no shots. Shout out to Future. They were recently signed to Epic Records by industry heavyweights like L.A. Reid and Salaam Remy. When you got those two guys behind you, you know it's something real. Their latest single, Infatuation, man, it got such a groove to it. And after hearing it, I was at a spot in New York, and I just saw him perform. And after hearing it, I just knew we had to have him as guest. So I want to introduce Chris. I want to introduce John. The gentlemen of Lipstick Gypsy are here, man. Give it up.
Hey, special.
Hey.
How you doing?
What's up, guys?
What's up? Thanks for having us again.
We're back.
Introduce yourselves just so that the people know your voices.
Yeah. I'm John. I'm John Thomas, the lead singer.
I'm Chris.
Okay.
Such producer, different voices.
Musician.
Yeah, very I sound different. Like a female.
It's like up and down.
He sounds like a male. Yeah.
Well, you say you sound like a female and he sounds like a man, but your voice is, you have like two different ranges, I feel like, in your voice. You have a kind of pop sound and then the really, really raspy kind of tone.
That's the hurt, girl. That's the hurt.
You know gotta
let it go. Girls like you.
Oh, hey. Girls like you, tell her to, oh.
You know what I'm saying, girls?
Bringing Miguel into this now?
Yeah, exactly.
This ain't the first time they met.
Yeah.
We did the podcast.
Of right. course, because Rob fucked it up.
Feel deja vu.
Yeah, does this feel weird? Like,
it feels good. I mean,
it feels good. It feels good.
We're good.
I'm just happy, John, that you brought the man bun back.
Yeah, I wasn't going to leave you hanging.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to
And I love your hat.
Thank you.
You guys are so stylish. I love it.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man. So, first of all, the man bun, I think, was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chris must have mentioned it about five times. Kristen must have mentioned it about five times because we got Chris here. But today, your Kristen must have mentioned it about five times the last time we tried to record this thing.
Mm-hmm.
She'll probably mention another five times.
Here we go.
Yeah.
It's
you
a
know,
thing.
Before
Just
we're
about.
Rolling. But the man bun is a thing. Now, is there like a man bun battle? Because it feels like it's coming back, but I feel like you want to take ownership. You want to take crown.
I've copyrighted it already. I've trademarked it.
I own it.
Like anyone who tries to get their haircut like this will get their bun snipped.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But it's a thing, man. I mean, it kind of sucks to be honest with you because I've had it for almost 2 years now, and now it's like an overwhelming thing. I was in the gym yesterday, and this like cornball had one, and I was like, I almost went in the bathroom and ripped my fucking bun off. because I was just mad. Like, but it's all good. I mean, I'll be, just keep it fresh, you know? We'll see.
Definitely is a thing, but but it's some. I feel like it completes your image, you know?
Yeah, so. I mean, and there's, anyone can rock a hairstyle, but can they really rock it, though? Ooh. That's the question. I'm going to leave
right now.
That's
the golden question. Just walk out.
That was deep.
So, I mean, I just want to give, because for all intents and purposes, Lipstick Gypsy is a new group.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And many are unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. But you guys aren't new to music. Chris, particularly you, let's just start with you, man, because you had just your production credit alone is insane. I mean, you worked with Jay-Z. You produced one of the illest underground Jay-Z songs ever.
Ouch.
It's real what the game made me.
Yeah.
Right? You produced for Ghostface.
Yep.
You produced for Brand Nubian.
True.
You produced for Case and one of my favorite groups, the Juggernauts, who used to be on Fine Records with Bobito, man.
Wow.
You know, I'm super underground.
Took it there.
Oh, CNN. You did a CNN joint.
Yes, yes.
Like, it goes on. And,
catalog goes on.
Yeah, you got to look Chris's stuff up. But when did you first get into producing?
Man, I guess right out of high school. I mean, I've been doing it all my life. Like, prior to doing it professionally, you know. But I mean, as far as professionally, is like right out of high school, and I guess I started. Yeah, I mean, I guess Brand Nubian was like one of the first placements, and then Jay, and then Mary, and just kind of like consecutively went on from there. You know.
So it was Brand Nubian. You did Don't Let It Go to Your Head.
Don't
right?
Let It Go to Your Head. Yeah, yeah.
That was like the last great.
I think our listeners have some homework to do.
Listen, man, you don't
Rob
know
gives
brand
homework
new,
every week.
Yeah, nah, listen, you don't know Brand Nubian. I know this is the R&B podcast. I know, you know, but Brand Nubian, Don't Let It Go to Your Head.
Yeah, they featured that. Yeah, that was on most recently Entourage.
Right.
I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah.
It was, I liked that, like the last episode of Entourage, HBO.
It was a nice check, huh?
It was nice to.
He's like, yeah.
Nice to be associated.
Now, working with Jay.
Yeah.
Like, you came in the game working with Jay-Z. I feel like most producers scratch that. That's on their bucket list.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Working with Jay, what the game made me. What do you remember about those sessions?
Man, we would. I just remember being. We did two records, and that was the only one that actually came out. But the other one, it's like untitled. But so we were in the studio for like 2-3 days, knocking him out. It was, I don't know, it was super fun. Like, he's super cool, like, to work with. Like,
did you feel pressured at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's Jay.
Intimidated?
You know? Yeah.
But he wasn't even, that. The funny thing was, I mean, he was big then, but he wasn't what he is now.
But not now. Yeah, you didn't think that he could get much big. I mean, you know, you don't realize it while you're there. Like, wow, it's Jay-Z, like, you know. But then now it's like, okay, it's like a whole nother like thing.
He was still like a street dude then.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
He probably had a do-rag on. Did he have a do-rag on?
Nah, he didn't have a do-rag. Nah, nah.
Nah, man.
But he was super cool to work with and open, you know, and humble and like open to suggestions and direction and everything. And you know, you don't think, you're like, yo, you know what you're doing. Like, you just, but he's open to like, all right, what do you think? But, yeah, that was super cool. That was super cool.
So for years you've been producing, getting placements, you know, and I imagine that's a certain type of grind.
Yeah,
that's a certain type of hustle that entails. And this is a little bit different now because you're a group,
right?
Like it's 50-50.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about what led you to want to become a part of this group, this Lipstick Gypsy.
I mean, I always kind of had an idea musically of what I really, really wanted to do, as opposed to like trying to fit other people's sounds or directions, which is great too. But I always kind of had my own point of view and what direction I wanted to go in. Like I always admired people that can just do what they feel like the Pharrells or the Timberlands or the Swiss or you know, like these producers that they have their own sound, they have their own thing, and that's what comes natural to them, you know? They don't have to try, they don't have to, like, you know, They don't have to, like, they basically get, they get up, they start playing, they do their thing, and that's what's accepted by the masses. So
they're,
I always,
not
like,
in a box.
Yeah, they're not in a box. But, like, they just do, like, the masses love what they do. Mm. You know what I mean? So I always was trying to just do what I wanted to do, you know, and just wait for the table to turn around where it's accepted, you know. And I guess what John and I are doing is exactly that. And just the combination of us together, it just kind of took it, that vision to a whole nother level.
You know? How did you guys first meet, though?
We met through a friend of mine. Well, John was performing. You could tell him the story.
Yeah, I was performing at, like, this fashion show in the city. And I don't remember what it was called. It was just a small fashion show. And I did, like, a few songs. And someone who worked at BET at the time was there. And he was like, hey, like, I love your music. And I was a solo artist at the time. He's like, I love your music. Like, do you mind if I send it to some friends? And I was like, yeah, man, of course. You know, thinking nothing of it, not expecting anything to come from it, because usually shit like that, nothing happens, you know? So, and by the way, Kevin, I'm allowed to swear, just so you know. I see you back there. This is not live TV.
He just gave
shout out to Kevin Holiday, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, so anyways, he ended up forwarding it to Kevin Lyles, and Kevin Lyles, like, gave it to his, like, right-hand man, like, kind of, like, check on this kid. So this dude, JoJo, he introduced me to Chris to produce my solo project. And it was cool because, like, I didn't know what was going to come of it. And when I first went to Chris's house, I didn't expect him to open the door either, because he had all these, like, he had all this hip-hop on his resume, you know what I'm saying? And this, like, dude comes to the door, he's like, hey, man. Yeah, and I'm like,
is that how I talk?
You were,
hey, man.
He's like, hey,
a little
man.
Deeper than, hey, man.
Yeah. I mean, hey, yes, man. But, like, that sort of energy, you know what I mean? Like,
you're expecting maybe Just Blaze? What up, yo?
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting.
That's not even Just Blaze.
That's not even Just Blaze. Just Blaze is also like, hey, man.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I just didn't expect that. Like, this motherfucker drinks green juice every day. Like, I just didn't expect that, you know? And so.
He thought it was, like, bottles of Patron. Like,
yeah.
The house.
I was like, where's strippers, the weed? Where's the liquor? Where are the strippers? You know what I'm saying? Because I was looking forward to the strippers.
Right. Yeah.
And they weren't there. But
I think it was I think it was a Tuesday or something.
It was a Tuesday, but strippers are always accepted.
Fresh dreams.
All days of the week, except for Sunday. That's God's day.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So we just started, like, I don't know, what did we do at first? Like, I think you played me some, like, reference tracks you had and stuff like
I
that. And
some,
we were just chopping it up.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just ended up, like, ad-libbing over a record that he had. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where he saw.
Yeah, that's where I pretty much saw, like, okay, where is he gonna, like, where he can go, you know? Because he was playing me his stuff, and I always loved it. But I just heard something in his voice. It was like, okay, we could do even more. Like, we could take this, like, put this on steroids and, like, go, you know, out there. So
that's dope. Did you know Chris's work before walking in?
I didn't. I mean, not like, obviously I knew some of the songs, but I didn't know they were produced by him, you know what I mean? It's different. Like, as a singer, like, you pay attention to vocalists, really. You don't really pay attention to producers as much. Like, especially at a younger age. Like, you're just, all you see is vocalists. Like, honestly, when I linked with Chris, I was only, like, 20 years old, and, like, so I had a lot of learning to do, and I still do, you know what I mean? But he taught me a lot just about, like, even thinking about that kind of stuff, like songwriters and their different styles and producers and their different styles, and, like, seeing what really goes into making a great record, you know, from all aspects. Because when you're a singer, all you're thinking is vocals, you know what I mean? Yeah. And obviously I was a like decent songwriter at the time, and I've grown since, but you don't think so much about that, and you don't think about how important melodies are or harmonies are, or, you know, chord progressions or changes, like key changes and bridges, and, like, really, you know, putting your all into a record. And that is what makes really good music. And people don't take the time now. Like, we see it all the time. Like, we were listening to a song tonight, and it was just like, it was cool. Like, we first verse, the hook was cool. Second verse was cool. Bridge was super fucking lazy. And, like, no one wants to create a bridge anymore. It's they want to just, like, do a musical.
It's my favorite
break.
Part of the song.
Yeah.
Always. It's always been
Seriously?
My favorite part. Yeah.
Explain that.
Man, like, just Because the bridge is like where it takes you. Okay, like you're you're in the pocket, you're in the groove with whatever the record is. The bridge is that opportunity to like take you completely somewhere else and then come back, you know, and just really give you like a whole nother spin on the song, you know.
Well, the bridge kind of closes, sums up like everything.
It's the bridge.
Salaam Remy came it's literally, on the podcast, and that's I think one of the things that he really highlighted. He said the bridge is really what everything going on in the song, it just sums it all up into one. It's like the closing of it. It just puts everything
it's
in
conclusion.
A, it's the completion of your journey. Like if you think of a song as a journey, like you need to cross that bridge to get to where you want to go. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh. I'm going to drop this motherfucking mic. About to spit some bars in the set. What's one of your favorite bridges? Like you had to pick a song, like one of the ones that just gets you.
Let me see.
I need to see an example.
Yeah.
I mean, Stevie Bridge is
Bridges. Stevie Bridge. any Stevie Bridge, to be honest. He's the king of like changes, you know? Yeah. And that's like my you know.
But if we're talking like R&B bridges, like musical bridges, Stevie, obviously everything's Stevie. He's just
Stevie,
a god.
Stevie, Michael, right. I mean, yeah, there's so much stuff.
But a good like for me, like if we're talking like strictly R&B, like what Brian McKnight would do, Bridges, was like, come on. If you don't feel that, like, back at 6/8/12, like, those Bridges, those and those are popular songs, you know?
Yeah. Timeless songs.
Yeah, and they take you there. Like, he doesn't hold back. And that's another thing, too. Like, if you can sing, like, Bridges are, a lot of times, at least used to be more than now, like, an opportunity for you to really get into it, dig in, you know?
Yeah.
It's explosive, like... supposed to be that part of the song where you're like, I loved it, oh, now I'm obsessed with it, you know?
Is I'm just trying to figure out what a bridge is. That's what I asked. Like the part of the song, is that like Prince, like one of my favorite songs is Prince, The Beautiful Ones, right?
Yeah.
My favorite part in that song is when he goes, I'm gonna try to do it, it's gonna sound crazy, but he's like, do you want
me? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's unorthodox bridge. Yeah. It's a little bit different. But yes, definitely.
That is meant that shit.
It's not a full episode if Rob doesn't try to sing something.
Okay, no.
Yo, that is good. That is possibly that my moment. Favorite Prince song, though. So.
Yeah, speaking of Prince, MJ, Stevie, who, because I feel like, first of all, you guys have two very different, you know, you came from the hip hop in the beginning, and then you have a very, like, again, pop-like, but also raspy. Mm-hmm. Who are some of your inspirations? Like, if you were digging back and doing your research, because you speak a lot on doing your research and always studying other artists, who are you digging back into?
Me or him?
Both.
I mean...
It's a fucking team effort, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, like...
For him, it's like Backstreet Boys and...
NSYNC.
NSYNC. And
Nah, it's Britney. Like definitely
like early Shout vintage Britney.
Britney's every. I wouldn't be who I was.
And LFO. Yeah.
Yo, I liked LFO, so I don't even care. I'm not afraid to say it.
I'm gonna have to edit that out.
No, for me, I mean, obviously Michael Jackson's huge. Yeah. That was like one of my first, like the Temptations, Michael Jackson, Motown in general for me, like in the beginning. But gospel, it started with gospel, and then like definitely Michael. Temptations, Stevie Wonder, and then like later on in my life, like Prince, but R&B cats like Brian McKnight, 112, Boys to Men. Like I used to listen to that stuff all the time. Drew Hill, I used to listen to all that R&B and love it. Case,
did you say Boys to Men?
Yes, I did.
We're gonna go here again. We're gonna do this every episode.
I was just at. I didn't know if you said that.
I did
or
say
not.
Boys to Men.
Didn't know if I was hearing right.
No, I said Boys.
Well,
to Men.
Did say Boys to Men.
We told them this about last time about our Boys to Men versus Jodeci debate.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
it's like you're on one side or the other.
Yeah, it's like you could probably like. I think you could split the whole world by whether or not you like Boyz II Men or you like Jodeci.
Yeah,
I mean they're both great,
undeniably. Oh yeah, completely different.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know.
Also that.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of
one
preference.
One group is better than the other. Jodeci is better.
Right. It's
Somebody
hard to compare.
Put a wall between me and Rob right now.
Listen, don't let it. He mentioned Drew Hill too. Like. I was never a huge Drew Hill fan.
I like Drew Hill.
I always like.
Do you like Donny Hathaway?
Oh, absolutely.
Donny Hathaway.
Yeah. Donny for sure.
Yeah, Drew Hill. I mean, it's like they had some records. Like, I just for me, like I liked Cisco too. Like I loved Incomplete. I loved that song. Like, and I liked some of his cuts too. Like songs that weren't singles that were just like people slept on. And I understand, like, you know, not everyone likes that type of R&B, but I did, like, that
few. Now, his album was dope outside of, like, the thong song. Because the thong song became such a thing.
I know,
I think
I
people
know.
Couldn't look past that.
It's unfortunate, though, because he had a few records, like, a few ballads and stuff, and he could sing. Like, it was, it's whatever. I mean, it was just, it was one artist out of a ton that I, like, enjoyed listening to. But,
Yeah, Donnie, I mean, Take a Love song, Love, Love, Love. I mean, that's like
Song for You.
Song for You, yeah, of course. There's so many, yeah.
So, so when you go into record a song like Infatuation, what are the guiding principles?
Well, that song started with like a rough track, and in my mind, I was thinking like that that Quincy stuff, that real rich like Quincy Productions or like the early Michael like Off the Wall kind of vibe, you know. And I think I just had this chord progression, like the drums, maybe like the lead line or something like that. And John just started singing the hook over it, and it just kind of fell right into place. Like that hook actually is even, it's kind of like he was freestyling in a way. Like he had an idea of what, where he wanted to go, but once he put it down, it was just like, that's it. And it's like, just keep it the way it is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, to answer your question, I don't think there really is any guideline, and I think that's the way it should always be. I mean, we definitely, if we start to overthink it, we're, like, failing.
The second we start overthinking, we just stop, scratch it, and start over.
And just start something else, because it's just about a feeling, a good feeling. Like, usually Chris starts playing. Like, with that, he had, a like you said, a skeleton of a track, but usually it's just he starts playing, and I start, like, riffing, freestyling, whatever, and when we land on a dope melody or a concept, then we move from there. Like, it's just, it's
but it. For you as a writer, where does the inspiration come? Like, does it come from a real person? Like, is Infatuation about a real female? Is it?
Yeah, actually it is.
Golden
Infatuation, it's funny. Some things can be so, like, they can be so insignificant in your life, like, in that moment, but inspire something later that's so big. I mean, Infatuation is a single now written about a girl that meant, like, really nothing. But, so, like, I used
to... He got to say that now because
he's a
girl.
No, it was, not like that because, listen. It was such, like, we weren't ever in a relationship or anything. Like, I hardly knew this chick. Like, I wrote it about her. Like, I used to bartend before the music thing started to happen. And this, like, British chick used to come into the bar all the time. And I just had, like, a crush on her. Like, I loved the way she spoke. I loved, like, the tone of her voice. Like, I loved her hair, her lips. Like, all that, everything about her, I thought was just, like, I really, like, I don't know. I had a crush on her.
You're infatuated.
She doesn't know, though. Because they never met, right?
Well, I mean, we were like we would say, what's up, like, how are you, whatever. But it wasn't even like that. And I wasn't trying to, like, pursue her. Like, I wasn't creeping in her DMs, you know what I'm saying?
So it was casual.
I wasn't slipping.
Yeah, no DMs.
No, it was super casual, like, just friendship. But yeah, man, I ended up just writing it about her a little, I guess.
You can't tell her
just
now.
Just use it.
Yeah. The song really blows up and takes off, and
we wouldn't know.
Number one, and she wants a piece.
Yeah, I'll just deny it. I'll be like, no, not you, the other British.
Yeah. That's funny. Nah, but that's dope because it's like, it's kind of funny because you feel like people are in your lives for reasons, right? So you might feel like for a second, like, oh man, she's in my life because I might want to. You know, slide up in that.
But
nah, she was in your life to give you the inspiration to write this song and
yeah.
I always tell people everything happens for a reason. It sounds so cliche and so corny, but literally, even the failures and the triumphs, like they lead you to something else in life.
Always.
Even if you meet someone and it doesn't work out, there's been, you know, relations that I've been in where. You know, it might have been like the worst ending, but I learned something from it, and it led to maybe somebody else that I might have met through. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, everything in life definitely happens for a reason.
Have you ever dated a guy with long hair?
No.
Okay, that's why.
Or a man bun.
No. Well,
done.
Okay. Done.
You just figured out your whole life. You just figured out all your problems.
Scratch that off my bucket
list. Me and Chris could.
We
could break it out.
Yeah.
Which Chris?
You guys are ready. Chris L, my man right here.
I did want to ask you guys, though. I'm going to go ahead and switch the subject. I did want to ask you guys, being that the name comes up all the time and we had him on the podcast, how did you guys come to meet with Salaam Remy, and how was that like? What was that experience like?
So that came about. That was a crazy experience because we both looked up to Salaam in like separate ways. Like I did, just from producer standpoint, obviously, you know, and John obviously, because a lot of records that John loved and we would speak about in the studio were produced by Salaam. There's like Miguel stuff, like all this stuff, Amy Winehouse, and John actually didn't know. You know, he's like, that's Salaam behind all this. You know,
yeah,
I knew because I follow who produces what. You know, but we met him through our manager Kevin Holiday. Who's standing over there?
Well, shout out to Blake because we got introduced to Kevin.
Yeah, exactly.
Our boy Blake.
Exactly. My friend Blake introduced us to Kevin. Kevin then took us to Salaam.
Facts.
And so Salaam wanted to meet us and have us come up to the office and talk to us, play for him. We ended up playing like for 2 hours in his office. Like there was a piano there. John got up, started singing, and we just did our thing.
It was a lot more intense than that, but
I'm playing.
The office is the white office with the white
everything.
The white piano.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like 3,000 degrees in there all the time.
Yeah, everybody's sweating in there except Salaam.
Yeah, Salaam's chilling.
Yeah, Salaam's
He's like, it's
chilling.
Not hot in here.
Yeah.
You're nervous.
Were you guys nervous? Like, how nervous were you?
I think he turns the heat up to like really.
He does that shit.
Yeah.
Crank it up.
I was.
Yeah, I was definitely nervous. It was funny, actually, like, I like mid song, like mid one of the songs, I had like my eyes closed and I was like going in and I like tripped on the couch behind me, like while we were like first like performing for him. And I caught myself. I did like a spin and I caught myself, but it could have been bad. But it
looked like a Michael Jackson move, though.
Yeah, you
oh,
know,
so you
I mean,
it?
I,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happened to Beyonce. Listen, it was a test, man. Beyonce fell and got up and kept dancing.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
I mean, every artist has fallen.
Everybody
falls
and gets up.
Just hope it doesn't happen on stage one day.
We'll hope.
I'm sure
it's
gonna.
If it does,
I mean, it happens. If you're giving it your all, you're gonna fall.
Yeah.
So was it Miguel that did the leg kick?
Yeah.
Right?
The drop kick.
That looked like it hurt.
What'd you sing?
Oh yeah, that definitely.
What'd you sing him?
The first song we did for him was "The Cure," which is our second single, "The Cure," which is out now.
Out now.
It's crazy. yeah, we did "The Cure" for him first, and then we just did all our songs. Really,
yeah.
We performed like 4 or 5 songs for him. Mm-hmm. He made us do "The Cure" twice,
mm-hmm.
and then like after that, he was like, "All right, do you have any more records?" So then we started playing him records, like. All the finished ones first, and then we started getting into like the more like
the
demo records, which Infatuation was one of those records.
Yeah.
It wasn't done yet. Mm. And I played him Infatuation, and obviously
he just like, what else?
Yeah, he just
and
kept
we just
being
like started running out of stuff and started getting like, all right, well, this isn't done, and that's not done. And it was like, nah, that's done. And in his mind, it's like, that sounds finished. Like, just go mix that and let's go, you know?
Yeah.
But we're all, you know, extra perfectionists and don't want to play anybody anything unfinished. And,
that's dope. Well, the first time we recorded this episode, I set John up because when he was talking about performance for Salaam, I'm going to get him now. He opened the door, so I'm going to be like, yo, can you sing something for us? Sing us what you sing for Salaam.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I got you.
I can't do that a second time because he's seen what was up
says
my sleeve.
Who? But he knows what he walked
into.
Sing us what you saw for Salaam.
Sing a little bit of The Cure. But again, you got to pretend you're Salaam. You got to do your Salaam impression.
It's not hot in here.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. That makes me feel nervous.
I produced for Annie Kamosi when I was 15. Okay.
Oh, what did you do when you were 15?
Yeah. All
right.
Nas, B. Amy Winehouse.
The world's grown cold, yeah. No heart, no soul there. So I move to your rhythm, and I hope you don't give in. Love me the way you would. If we were the only ones left, oh, tell me it feels so good. Tell me how it's never gonna end. Say that it won't, cause I'm The Cure.
Jeez.
Ladies and gentlemen, Section chocolate.
Chocolate dropper.
That boy good.
That boy good.
That's fine.
Yeah, just don't let it happen.
It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah, that's amazing, man.
Thank you.
He's all right, you know.
He's all right.
The boy's all right.
We got to get the instruments in here next time and have you play something.
Let's do it.
Nah, that's dope, man. Thank you for that, man. That, you know, you put a lot of artists on the spot. A lot of artists ain't ready for that, man.
No, he's ready to spit a quick 16.
You know what I'm saying? No. 16.
Now, Billboard just recently wrote up someone you guys, too, right? Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks. Yep, it's in this week, I think, when this airs, maybe. Even if not, it's there.
The physical comes out on Thursday.
So you're in the magazine and you're online.
Yeah, we're online right now and the magazine's on Thursday.
Kevin negotiated that, I'm sure. Because most, they don't know. They'll be like, yo, we're going to do an interview. And you just assume it's for the magazine.
Yeah,
no,
right.
It's just for online.
No, it's both.
But we're grateful for both. I mean,
Prince
either one.
Alive. Right.
Billboard means a lot because it's a music magazine. Right. Like, it's you know, it means a lot. And maybe, I don't know. To some people, like regular people don't realize for like a musician what that means, like to be in Billboard.
It's only the most prestigious magazine in the music industry.
Say prestige.
Prestige. Prestige.
Worldwide.
Prestige worldwide. Yeah. Did I do that last time?
Yeah.
Prestige
worldwide.
Same jokes.
Same. It sucks because no one's going to get it.
Step Brothers references, by the way, in case anybody's wondering.
Chris is a huge Step Brothers fan.
Huge. L.A. Reid, another just when you talk about... just business minds and people who have been through it. And I mean, you know, L.A. Reid, him and Babyface were like partners. Like, what's L.A. like?
Oh, man.
He's like the nicest dude in the world, honestly.
He really is.
Like, he's so warm and like exciting. And like, the dude just makes you want to be better because he's like, he's so into his craft.
Mm-hmm.
And like, nowadays, man, it's, you don't come across people like that care about music the way he cares about music. I mean, this dude knows every nuance of the records. He knows every little piece. Like, he really listens and, like, he really enjoys the music. It's not, he's not, like, a numbers guy. He's a music guy, you know? And we're so, I mean, it's a dream, bro. Like, we used to talk in the studio, like, years, like, a couple of years ago before any of this happened.
Yeah.
We'd be in the studio and be like, yo, L.A. Reid would get this.
Yep.
Like, L.A. Reid would get
L.A.
this.
L.A. needs to hear this.
So that was your target.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we always felt like he would understand it.
Yeah.
And for us that day, I mean,
this
shit still doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
But
it's crazy. It's literally a dream come true.
Yeah.
There is nobody else that we would want to be in business with and, you know, have as our.
And him and Salaam together.
Oh, yeah,
like,
together.
That's,
like,
you couldn't ask for more as, like, a music head, you know?
It's the A-team, you know?
Yeah. Nah, dope. What, now you guys again are new artists and you know, there's a quality to your sound and to your music, to these records that sound dope and sound timeless, but may not necessarily fit in what's going on today on radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question to you is, have you ever felt the pressure to fit in?
And
the other side is what gives you the confidence to make the records that you
want to make
and stand by that.
You know what? I mean, pressure to fit in. Everybody's going to have that pressure to fit in, but we strongly believe, and it takes a lot to get to this mindset, but we strongly believe that if you just literally do what feels natural to you and that what's really true to you, it's going to cut through. Like, people will get it. Even if it doesn't sound like, you know, the top 10 records that are on the radio or whatever, like, that doesn't even matter.
Because it's not a top 10 yet. That's
why. Exactly. It'll get there, you know. If you do stuff trying to sound like the hit that's out now or whatever, you're just going to crash. Like,
we want longevity in this industry. You know, we want to make history. We don't want to, like, just go with the trends and get our 6 months in.
Right.
And then disappear. Like, it might take a little longer, but it's going to last a lot longer,
too.
It'll
last that much longer, yeah.
You know? like Chris said, I mean, do what you're good at.
Yeah.
And we're good at this. Yeah. And the thing is, we don't put ourselves in a box, and we make records that... We make all different types of records. Like, there's Infatuation, for instance. You know, Infatuation, like, the R&B heads are going to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. The funk heads will appreciate it. You know what I mean? And then we have records like The Cure, which is a top 40 pop song.
But it's still funk.
And it's still, yeah, you know. We never make a record that doesn't show where we come from.
Yeah.
What we appreciate. Mm-hmm. Like, you're always going to hear the undertones of soul, of R&B, of funk.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's got a fucking huge hook and that makes it a pop song, then that makes it a pop song. Great. You know what I mean? Yeah. Melodies are really what defines a lot of these, like, genres that people talk about. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have a killer melody, like a strong hook...
Yeah.
It's a pop song. It's popular music. You know, it's something that could get stuck in someone's head, you know. Mm-hmm. But
well, I feel like your music, I mean, as of right now, like if someone was to go digging into you, they'd find Infatuation, they'd find The Cure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's such a diverse sound. Like there's like you said, there's a little bit of everything mm-hmm. in each song. But going forward, what are your plans with the music, the sound of the music at least? Like what do you envision for yourselves?
Yeah. I mean on the EP is very cohesive, you know. It's there's like five records on there, and it has that funk, soul, pop, you know, feel and sound. All the hooks are big. It's very rich in sound. You know, that's really just what we do. You know, like that's mm-hmm. Going forward, second album, third album. You know, that's what we see. You know, we don't see really, you know, veering off. But you know, we have other records like. We have this record called Dying of a Broken Heart that's very, like, it's like a whole different groove. It's very, very
it's
up-tempo.
Like a dancey, it's like a dancey pop record, but think like yeah. Prince yeah, dancey it's like, pop record.
Exactly. It's like a Prince, yeah, exactly. Something off Purple Rain album, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Wow.
But, yeah, with, like, the EP, it's like we have Infatuation and The Cure, which mm-hmm. you can hear now, and then we have, like, this record called Candy, mm-hmm. which is a potential single, and it's a funk record, but mm-hmm. it's a dance
it's
record, and it's fun, yeah. and it's just like, it's witty, and it's just like, mm-hmm. it's cool, man. Like it could easily live on the charts. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Definitely
live there.
Are you open for writing for other people and producing for other acts, or
definitely.
Is it just like
yeah.
it's, you just see?
No, nah, we definitely would love to.
Yeah, that I think that. It's well, just a way for us to exercise
yeah.
what we do in a different way.
Yep.
It's fun.
Spread the love a little bit. Mm-hmm.
So if Jay-Z calls back, you're right.
Oh, man.
No, Hov, I'm busy. You missed that other record.
Sorry.
Wait, hold on, though, but you missed the gem. He said yeah. there's a record that he and Jay-Z did
yeah.
that never came out.
Mm. Yeah.
I often think about the records. Like,
yeah.
Jay's my favorite artist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Me too.
And I often think about the stuff that's sitting in the vault. I remember one time Just Blaze told me that he redid Main Sources Looking at the Front Door.
Oh, shit.
Around the time in between Blueprint 1 and Blueprint 2 and never released it. So I often think about what is sitting in the Jay-Z
yeah.
vault that we have.
Probably
heard.
So much.
Well, this man knows. I'm sitting right next to somebody who knows.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to.
I wish I had it. But I have the track, but I don't have the.
What was the first bar?
I couldn't even tell you, but I will tell you it was a track that you wouldn't even imagine being a hip hop track. Like right. It really wasn't a hip hop. It was really like a R&B. Like I don't even know what I was thinking, but it was more R&B, very melodic. It was the tempo of it. Everything was just ill.
Who was the engineer? I'm trying to find out who had this record now. Like, who was the engineer at the time?
That was
like,
Guru.
It was Guru.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this
yeah.
is Guru.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, Guru.
Reach out.
Yeah, we're going to reach out.
Guru, talk to me. What do you got for me?
Oh, yeah. Nah, that's dope. And then the name. Yeah. We spoke about this last time, but I feel like there's a question that needs to be answered.
Yeah.
Lipstick Gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck is a lipstick?
What the fuck
gypsy?
Is lipstick gypsy?
I used to say,
yeah.
when I first heard the name, I kept saying Gypsy Lipstick.
Oh.
And then it's like, no. I even
that's,
said it
that's
to
not
my mom
it.
Once.
That's
I'm
backwards.
Like, Gypsy
that's
Lipstick.
That's the
like,
dyslexia.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
the dyslexic. Which
yeah.
is fine.
It's fine.
That's
yeah.
fine.
But how did you
last
come
name
up with
first,
that name?
First
so
name.
Different.
Well, I think man. That's the main, that's the driving force behind it, is we wanted to come up with a really unique name that's going to stand out and pack a punch and just and people be like, what the fuck is that? Who are they? Are they guys? Are they girls? Are they rock? Are they pop? Are they, you know what I mean? You have yeah. no idea. And then you hear the music and you're even more like intrigued. Like, I yeah. want to know what they look like,
yep.
you know? And I think that's the main driving
curve
force.
Curveballs,
yeah.
left and right.
We also both like the way rock and roll looks
mm-hmm.
and
right,
sounds.
Feels.
You know? And I think so mm-hmm. that's where we also it sounds like a rock band. Like, it sounds like a rock and roll band.
It definitely does.
Yeah. Initially, there was really no meaning, you know, behind it. It was just something that sounded good and just, you know, we were playing with names. And we were also running through a bunch of names, trying to clear names. Because if you ever try to clear a band name before, find out how
it's the worst
difficult
thing ever.
It is to trademark, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like the most grueling process ever. I think it was going on for like 6 weeks, it felt like.
Wow.
And, right, so when, I mean, yeah, I lipstick, I yeah. mean, we won't even get into it, but we'll, because there was other, like,
was another
variations
yeah.
of, okay. of it, yeah.
But we fell in love with the whole lipstick thing. We were like, yeah. lipstick something, like, yeah. that's just like,
and we called, sorry to cut you off.
No, it's cool, Chris, you do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
No guy, problem, bro.
This guy never shuts up.
I just fucking share my money with this guy.
I know, we gotta like be together all the time.
It's like stepbrothers for real.
Do you guys ever get into it? Because
yeah, we're about to get into it right yeah. now.
You wanna see me? I can throw John, hands, yo.
John just put his balls on Chris's drum set.
Yeah.
About to get real.
Oh, God.
Nah, we don't really. It's, we keep it like, we're both like pretty like laid back. So like, if shit's yeah. bothering us, we're just like, bro. Like, bro, you have to like see it this way, bro.
Bro.
Like, that's how we talk.
He smokes
other.
A joint first, and then he yeah. says, bro.
I'm like, bro. Bro, give me a hug.
That's right. Now, it's funny, yeah. though, the whole thing with the name, because I remember, again, Salam put me on to you guys, so he just yeah. texted me a flyer
mm-hmm.
with a pair of lips.
Yes.
With some lipstick on it, and said, if you and Chris can make it tomorrow, I'd love for you to check out one of my new groups.
Nice.
And I didn't know what to expect. And I was just like, but that's my man. I'm like, and I trust his musical taste.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, if you're behind it,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to come check it out. And I didn't know what to expect, man. Mm. It looked like something out of like, yeah, it looks kind of like, you know, it's just the logo again with, mm-hmm. with lips.
Yeah.
And it looked like something out of the Minneapolis funk. Mm-hmm. Prince, Morris Day and the Time.
Mm-hmm. That's
I didn't know if
that's
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis was going to be in the house. Like, I don't know what was going on.
That's where we live,
right. Yeah,
musically.
Definitely.
But, you know, when I hit the spot
mm-hmm.
and checked you guys out, and I came in late. You were, like, on your last two songs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was like, yo.
And I unfortunately couldn't make it, but Rob sent me a video.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Nah,
I was like cringing. I'm like, fuck.
Missed out.
Yeah, I definitely did, but I won't next time.
Any more shows coming up? I know you got one.
This Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, we have a show on Thursday.
What's the name of the spot?
It's Diageo. Is it open
Diageo.
To the public, Ev? Or? Okay,
it's
not open
to the public.
Public.
Don't forget that. But we
but
do
come
have
through.
One.
Come through.
Come through anyway.
Come through and make a mob scene outside.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just come.
Let's get
right?
weird.
Exactly.
I mean, we're trying to work out this whole tour thing. We just got with ICM. We're grateful for that. We're excited to work with them. So we'll get this tour thing together. We'll start doing a lot more shows.
You ready for the road, bro?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah! What do you mean? Do I look like I'm not
without
ready
a question?
For the road?
I don't know.
Are you saying ready. Because I'm a wild person?
Like, I just don't know if you know what's gonna
what's tell
gonna
me,
happen.
Talk to me, teach me.
Like, how life
nobody
is gonna
knows
change.
Though.
Yeah.
That's the fun.
You got
part
a girl?
Of it.
You guys got women in your life?
Nah.
You sure?
Yeah.
We are sure.
Okay.
I mean, there's women in
sure.
my life,
right?
But I mean,
yeah. Mom, you know,
yeah.
mom.
Talk to my mom every day.
Rose gonna be sounding.
I mean,
the way you're talking about it, I mean, you're sounding like it's gonna be a bad thing.
Yeah.
No, it's gonna be a great thing.
We might invite you out. I mean,
no, you can't invite me.
We can't.
I can't.
Can't. All right.
Mm-mm. Oh shit! Wait, let me see that hand, boy.
Oh yeah, that's
let
true.
See
I
that
just,
hand,
I
boy.
Okay. I ain't going nowhere.
We're not gonna invite you anywhere.
Right. Well, you can invite me. I just gotta leave early.
Yeah.
All right.
We apologize to your wife.
Sorry.
But, you know, you guys got a show again Thursday. It's not open to the public, but it's nice and early.
You know what?
5:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Feels
yeah.
like the right time.
Let's get into something.
You guys have to do a show in New York soon.
We are.
Yeah, we will.
We're going to be doing, we got a couple things in the works. Mm-hmm. We'll
keep always ready. We're always ready.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Like, we love performing. I can't wait to just be performing all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
that's where we come alive.
Yeah,
I feel like that's what people need to see.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think that sets them over.
You guys have, like, a strong presence.
Mm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
EP. You EP. Mentioned the EP.
Yes.
When can we expect it?
Top of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First quarter of 2016.
Yep.
If not, we can come hunt you down, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Man, definitely.
Okay. Absolutely.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
On the record.
You know where we live, so.
Actually,
I couldn't get back up there if I tried, man.
Yo, New Yorker, so like, people who live in the city think, like, White Plains is, like, Canada, and it's, like, 40 minutes. Like,
damn near. Nah, you know, but I'm coming from Staten Island, so it was, like, that's a bit from of a Long hike. Island.
Yeah. That's nothing.
It really was not that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I actually enjoyed the drive. See, I'm a sucker for, like, serenity and calmness, though.
Yeah.
That once I got out there, it was, like,
it's peaceful.
The coolest shit ever to me. Whereas opposed to other people, it might be like, how the hell do you live out here?
Nah.
I like to drive and listen to music.
Most people, when they when they get up there, like, it's, and come in the studio, they just love it, you know?
Yeah.
It's, it's nice. Peaceful. The studio is dope. I just felt like such a dickhead again. I apologize to you guys. We taped
it. Good.
No
the
worries.
Audio quality was bad. Not only did we tape it, in the middle of the interview, my SD card ran out of space.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I had to go to the Best Buy around the corner.
Rob's like, Chris, you coming? I'm like, I guess.
The most professional
interview we've ever done. Yo, they probably called Kevin right after, like, yo, who the fuck?
He was texting him.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, this Rob guy, great.
Yeah,
thanks,
nice.
Kevin.
Yeah. Thanks, Kev. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Are you sure that, like, he's done this before?
Yeah.
This shit. But
that's such a classic moment.
Nah, man, it's all good.
We tried to save that episode. We tried to bring it to you, but it was just the quality of it. We couldn't give it to the listeners like that.
The sound quality, guys. The sound quality. Not the quality of the interview.
That was a really good interview.
It was actually a really great interview.
Really good. Maybe it'll surface one day.
Maybe we'll unlock it. Maybe when you're famous, when you guys hit like 4 number ones in a row.
Okay.
And then
you don't return the calls. And we'll be like, yo, can we do a follow-up interview? They were like, nah, dickhead. You just the original one that we did.
We're bringing our own mics.
Put the buzzy mic one out.
Yeah, use the buzzy mic one.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Shit.
My cheeks hurt from laughing so much. You guys are awesome,
thing.
By the way.
Thank you.
We're fun guys.
Hey. What the fuck? I'm in a band with the Fonz. Great.
I don't know who he's talking about.
I'm going to do our segment with them, though. Can we do it? Do we got one?
I don't know if we do. Actually, I didn't plan for that.
We didn't get
doing?
To do it last
See,
time.
See, now I'm fucking up.
Nah,
great job.
Good. I'm just so into the conversation. So.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll hang out anytime.
Hey.
Record it. We don't record it. What are we doing?
Nah, this one's good, though. If this one messes up,
you know what I'm saying?
We could blame Lee. Shout
Dude
out
said
to
we
Lee.
Can hang out anytime. You could record it. I don't know about that.
Oh, I missed that whole thing.
He will turn anything into anything.
What's wrong with you,
He
guy?
Just
A lot of things.
Yeah.
Don't get Kevin started back there.
Okay.
He'll give you a laundry list of things that are wrong with me.
All right, forget that. We're going to scratch that. We usually do a relationship advice segment.
Oh, we're horrible at that.
That sounds exciting. Let's freestyle it. Fuck it.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
We'll give you all the worst
you guys
advice
can freestyle?
Ever.
Come on, let's go.
I don't.
I'm freestyling and some truth is going to come out.
Oh, boy.
The truth's come out.
Yeah, we don't
What's
want
the
that.
Craziest situation one of you there have you ever been in? Let's
what
let's
kind
do
of
that.
Situation?
Like, you
what
know,
a relationship?
A relationship, a fling, whatever, you know, dealing with a woman. What's the craziest situation you've been put in?
Chris, preach.
No, I'm just I'm gonna give
Chris
that
said,
one
nah,
to you.
I'm good.
I'm gonna give that one to you.
Wow. The craziest situation I've ever been in with a woman. I don't even have an answer for that. I really
doesn't
don't.
Have to be a relationship. Just you know.
Craziest thing that's ever happened to me.
Do you do $200 dates, bro?
$200 dates.
I have. I mean, to be honest with you, bro, like, if you're fucking with a girl who it's necessary all the time to like go to like a really crazy spot and like all the shit. You're not really vibing with her the right way.
That's
like
the
that
wrong
shit doesn't
girl.
Matter, bro. Like,
are you a Netflix and chill kind of guy?
I mean, when I Netflix and chill, like you need a couple days to recover. No, I'm just playing. But that is the right idea. Like, I feel like it shouldn't matter where you go. Like, it's like, are you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. Me too. What do you want to do? Let's order. Let's go get pizza. Let's go wherever. Or
Chipotle.
You go to a nice place on the fly though.
Right.
It's not about like I've courted a girl like that. It was like I kept it fancy. I kept it like I tried to impress her, doing all this shit.
Mm.
I ended up hating that bitch. I hated her.
Right. This is before the record deal.
This is before the record deal. You know what I'm saying? I was spending my hard-earned money on this girl. But it's like, if you feel the need to impress her with things like that,
it's
then
the
it's just,
girl.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's
you
wrong.
Want just somebody that's chill. Just like
Yeah,
you know.
She should
so
be.
No $200 dates for you?
I
you
mean,
would do a $200.
Honestly,
date.
I have I kind of have expensive taste anyway, so right. I feel like
here we go.
I
feel like I would,
I might want to go somewhere for me, and she right. just happens to. So you know,
Chris, like, you get a salad, babe. Yeah. You get a salad. I'm gonna get the same. Get the salad. Listen, you need it.
Nah,
need
I don't even know what it is. It's not a restaurant. You know. I don't know, like.
It's not important, bro. It's really not. It's stupid. Like, go to the grocery store.
Philippe's
get some
might be
food.
The fanciest restaurant that I've ever been to.
Get some food and cook it together. That sounds more
I've
fun.
Never
yeah, guess exactly. Cook
get
at
some
home.
Food and cook it together. Because you're paying
spend
for some
time.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want yeah, to have the places.
That sounds like a video.
Anyway.
Actually, that sounds yeah, like another
exactly. a video concept.
Yeah. Get some food and cook.
Exactly.
That's the right thing.
I think at the end of the day, you have to be comfortable. With whoever you're spending your time with. Comfortable definitely. Enough to just be you and
right.
not have
absolutely.
To go the extra mile
right.
all the
exactly.
time.
It's
like
too much pressure.
Going the extra mile
what?
Should be something that you just genuinely want to do for
right.
that person.
Absolutely.
But you know that they're okay with, you know, just, spending the night in. Let's watch yeah. a movie, you know, order food in. Like, I think
that's
you guys have
what,
to act as if, like, you were
Chris,
friends
preach,
at the
young
same
lady.
Time.
Preach, young lady.
Absolutely.
Preaching.
She's talking.
No, you're absolutely right. More people
talking,
need
man.
To exercise that.
Yeah.
No, it's true. You know. It's true. That's the special shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay for some douchebag waiter
right.
to be like, hello, sir. This is our wine section. I'm like, son, I don't drink.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
I do like wine, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely a wine person.
I'll buy put you wine down. At the liquor store. We can
red
get it
wine.
In. That's all it is. I don't mean get it in like that. I mean
you
just get it in.
Yeah.
I mean just like enjoy one another's company.
Wine.
On the opposite sides
get,
of the couch.
I get what you mean.
Yeah, all right, cool.
I get what you mean.
Cool.
We're on the same page.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yo, John is so full of shit.
You said too much already.
Yeah. Nah, man. Damn, I don't know where else to go.
I mean, if you want to talk about wine, you could really get a great bottle of wine. $20 at more, and you're going to spend 80 at the restaurant. You know what I mean?
Facts.
Come
on, like, oh, yeah.
So,
facts.
Keep a couple
like,
bottles
you don't have
in the
to
house.
Spend, yeah, you
just
don't have
to relax and just,
exactly.
you know.
Nice facts only.
You don't have to be caking out.
Hennessy.
Ugh.
When you really fuck with somebody, you could tell them you have money problems. That's when you know you really like somebody. When
right.
you're like,
that's true.
Yo. Yeah, I ain't got
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Shit is tight.
Yeah.
Like, right. there's some leftovers in the fridge.
Yep.
Would you let a woman pay for you on the first date?
I don't like that ever to let a woman pay for me. To be honest with you. Mm. Like, honestly, bro, like, I am a romantic. I do enjoy those things. But, like, for the right girl. And, like, once the relationship's already established, like Chris was saying, like, you do that for somebody that you really already care about.
Yeah.
Because if she can't fuck with you on some, like, regular sweatpants shit, then, like, then what's the point? It's not going to last. Mm. But I don't really like when girls pay for me. Like, I don't ever usually let that happen. Sometimes they have to, like, fight to let them pay for anything. Like,
right.
but... I don't know. There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's cool if you want to do that. If you want to do that
but
thing.
But don't look at me. I'll just
hey,
ask
Rob,
you
a question.
Do that
I'm
thing, good. No.
That's up to you, bro.
No.
That's up to you. I mean, you got the ring thing
nah,
going on.
Yeah, no, nah, no. I mean, yeah, obviously I've been. But I can't ever imagine a woman paying for me, not because she's not capable of paying.
How do you feel about this, Chris?
Yeah,
how do you
Chris?
Feel about this? You're touching your, like, you're poking your nose like you have a thought.
I mean, I've definitely paid on. I paid on the first date once.
Mm.
And
that's not the right
how
thing
many
to
dates
do.
I know,
that?
But
yeah, how many? Yeah, that's a good question. How many days was after the date that you paid for?
I knew the person a little, you know, through mutual friends and all that. But the first date, I paid, and it was.
Did you ask him out, or did he ask you out?
It was kind of a mutual thing. Like,
how did you? How did
on
it,
the fly, like you say?
How did it end up though that you paid? Like, what happened? Like
did,
what?
Did y'all both
I just
reach for
offered,
the
check? And it was
like, you were like
taken right away. And I was kind of surprised because I'm always the type to like offer.
Yeah,
yeah
like,
girls
that's
always
me.
Up, they like reach in the purse. There's nothing even in their purse. That's the funny part.
Right.
They know you're gonna
they
offer.
Just reach.
Like,
well,
oh,
let me
pay my wallet. Like, bitch, you don't have a wallet. Your purse is empty.
It's just there for the style.
Yeah, like stop. What if I was like, all right, yeah, get that out of your purse. You'd have to mug somebody. You'd have to go to the bathroom, mug somebody, and come back.
This guy.
Wait, so how many dates did y'all have after the date that y'all paid for?
Maybe one or two.
All right. Did you pay for the second and third one?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
But I don't
that's
know.
Cool.
I think
that's
at
fine.
The end of the day, there's different types of girls. There's, right. Like you said, I think most girls will sometimes take the initiative of like acting like they're gonna go pay or even offer to pay.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
I don't know females that would actually offer to pay and don't have it, because I would be shitting
my
pants.
I'm just joking.
I mean,
but
they should offer. I mean, anybody you're with should.
Men
offer,
appreciate that. You know, men appreciate like just, that if you offer. But I mean,
you don't have to. We're not gonna accept it. But you,
you should. You know. It's just polite. It's all the shit is polite. It's all bullshit. It's all, bullshit. It's all like stuff that we know we're supposed to do and we
Kristen
do
fucked up though now, because your next date, they might just expect you to offer.
Yeah. Oh, she got
that was
pay.
Years ago. Listen, I've I'm not an expecting kind of person, but I do have my standards. Like there are, like you said, certain things that a man is just supposed to do, I think, and they should just take initiative of doing on their own. Definitely. But again, I am the type that I'm going to offer, and if it's taken, like, all right, you offered, you know, go ahead and pay for it. Do you want to? It's up to you if you want to go on that second date after that, you know, or that third date.
You don't have to pay on the next date.
Man. I'm not going to hold a grudge.
They'd be like, yo,
anyone,
you got the
you
red
know?
Light special. Mm-hmm. You got this podcast popping.
The question is, what is all right? So here's a better question though. What's expected of the woman once the man pays? Ooh. Yeah, you gotta
expectations are overrated, I think.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but
you just go with it. There should be no expectations.
The expectations most likely will rise a bit if the man pays.
Because
the man always feels like
See, this is how men
more.
Think. This
no,
is amazing.
Not
I love
me,
this.
But I'm just saying, like, most men would be like I'm paying for this.
Here's the thing though, if you want, if you go out to dinner with me,
which is whack, but
if you accept my invite to go out to dinner with me and we're having a good time, and at the end of the night, like, I'm not like, absolutely I do not expect to like sleep with somebody on the first date, absolutely not, but I do not expect those things. I don't. Kevin,
right? Kevin,
stop looking at me. Kevin,
who are you trying to convince, bro?
No, I'm just saying, I don't expect, mom, if you're listening,
mom,
I don't expect that, mom.
No,
I wouldn't do that again.
Ever again.
Nah, but
first 10 times.
I just feel like if we're having a good time and like we, you know, take you out and we're doing our thing, at the end of the night, like I expect a little kiss, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's fair.
You have to. Like, that's if you fair. Don't, that's weird. Like, I'm like, what's wrong with you?
That's fair.
Like, if you make me feel weird for wanting to kiss you.
That's fair.
Well, I feel like if the girl is already, if I'm agreeing to go on a date with someone,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you're agreeing.
They're already kind of like,
baby,
you're interested. No. Yeah.
So you can't go on a date with somebody that you wouldn't even consider kissing.
For what?
No.
Yeah, that's weird. unless you're scheming. Unless
if I'm
you're
going on a date
female.
With you, like, I should be attracted to you. There should be some kind of energy there between us, and the date is there to open us up to conversation, and then conversation leads to whatever it leads to.
There you go.
That's
true. That's real.
That is very real.
Yeah. Unless you're a gold digger, and it's like, you know.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're out for the expensive wine. And the...
Yeah, all that fancy shit.
Yeah.
So you can't take them on $200 dates at first. You got to test them.
Yeah. Take it to McDonald's, see if they still get it. No,
I don't have those problems.
Good.
Yeah.
Bless you. Bless you, my friend. Yeah.
God bless you, son.
Yo. You want to get Robin to any trouble? I don't know. I think we covered the music. We covered
that
the origin.
That was interesting.
Jay-Z, $200 dates.
Man bun, Jay-Z, $200 dates. We covered it all.
Yeah, I think
the EP.
We hit all the bases. The EP.
Yeah, the EP. Definitely.
Okay.
And the first meeting with Salaam. I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a name?
Lipstick Gypsy, the EP.
Yeah.
Self-title.
Okay.
Yeah.
Self-title. Nice.
Then they gave a good Salaam story. I feel like.
There's always a
Once we
story.
Hit our maybe 1 year mark of doing this podcast, we're gonna collect all the different Salaam Remy stories that people had the first time when they met Salaam, and just do a Salaam Remy special, because everybody has an interesting the first time I met Salaam story.
That's a good idea.
He's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
Like that guy, Salaam.
Good guy. Salaam. All right, so Lipstick Gypsy, where can we find you? I know you guys got the Twitters.
Yeah. So
Twitters.
Twitter and Instagram is lipstick__gypsy. It's two underscores. So lipstick__gypsy. Twitter and Instagram. What else is there? Facebook. You know,
website.
Get at us. Fan page, Lipstick Gypsy on Facebook. We don't have a website yet. But, I mean,
shout
get
out.
With us on our socials. I mean, that's really where the shit goes down. So
Who's out here? I know you guys, we had this conversation about social media and the role it plays. You guys are heavily focused on the music.
Yeah,
always.
Who's doing the tweeting? Who's doing the messaging from?
We both are.
Like the DMs, you mean?
he's doing the DMs.
Yeah.
Dude, are you talking about the DMs?
Stalking.
John is on DM patrol.
Yeah.
A girl sends me a smiley face, and I'm just, it's
hey,
over.
DM time.
Yeah. So,
your DM.
So, if a female fan really likes Lipstick Gypsy and slides in the Lipstick Gypsy DMs. Who is she actually speaking to? Is she speaking to John or is she speaking to Chris?
Depends. She has to address us by, you know.
By name. By nickname.
Yeah.
Which only those girls know.
Right.
Select
you. It's very, yeah. Code names.
I'm Stone Pipe, by the way.
Stone Pipe.
Now, for all the listeners, that's why you know I'm a clown. Yo, like, yeah. Please don't take anything jokes. I say seriously.
You're going to have problems. The funny shit is
he's got his hands full, Kevin Holiday.
Yeah, I see.
When John gets his first celebrity girlfriend.
Tori Kelly, what's up, girl?
What's up, Tori?
Is that the one?
Tori's
hell yeah,
dope.
That's the one.
Okay.
We ran into her.
Yeah, we actually met her the day we signed our deal.
Randomly,
though, at the meatball shop in the city. It was so random.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she so just, good. We're sitting at the bar. We're having meatball subs after we sign our deal, like everyone does after they sign a record deal. They get a fucking meatball sub.
Right.
So we're doing that. And then, like, Chris goes out to, like, take a phone call.
Yeah.
And, like,
I saw her walking down the street, and I'm like, nah, that's not, no. So then I got off the phone, ran inside, told him, I'm like, look who's coming in the door right now. And I'm like, look, to your right.
So I'm expecting, like, I don't know, somebody we used to work with or something, like, funny or something. Or something ironic.
And it's Tori Kelly.
Tori Kelly, son.
That's the first time I ever saw him not talk.
Bro. He froze.
He's silent, like a mute, like just silent. And I had to introduce them.
This is my lead singer. I know he doesn't say much.
Yeah. I drank this cappuccino so fucking fast, bro. Yeah. I just had the shit to my lips. Like, I was like just try. I didn't know what to do. I was like, I have a serious crush. Yeah. Like, I have a problem.
So you ain't sliding them DMs yet?
Nah, I gotta see. Now that's that's wifey though. That's different. You don't slide in wifey's DMs. You comment on her pictures regularly like everyone else.
You can slide in the DMs.
No.
I
would just want to honestly, like, Tori, like, I feel, yeah.
You know what you need to do.
It's a problem.
We'll run into her.
You need to get Chris, and I just lay out a really good song.
Mm-hmm.
Duet.
And then do the video.
Dude, we want to do a duet.
Yeah, we're absolutely going to do a duet with Tori Kelly.
How dope would that be if we did a duet with Tori?
I think the world wants that.
Nah, mm-hmm. But all jokes aside, she's, I'm a big fan.
You're not joking.
Like,
that's
I'm not joking. I'm just not trying to be weird.
No, but she's already amazing. Hey,
too late
for
that.
Her voice is like,
oh, man.
She's dope. I was going to tell Kevin that we need to hook him up with Taylor Swift. She can write a song about him.
Let's go.
Diss the shit out of him.
Let's go.
And all of a sudden, Lipstick Gypsy, 10 Boom. Times platinum.
Let's Boom. Go.
Facts.
That's your marketing strategy right there.
I mean, that sounds...
sounds good. Hey, let's do it. I'm with it.
All right. So, yeah, I feel like we went off the rail. Shout out to Tori Kelly, man.
We went off on a tangent.
Can't wait for that duet. So Lipstick Gypsy again, Lipstick_Gypsy
Correct.
On both Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook. Hit these brothers up, man. Mm-hmm. Infatuation and The Cure are both on iTunes.
Yep. Both on iTunes, Spotify.
Yeah, music, all that.
Radio. We got a bunch of ads past couple weeks on The Cure and Infatuation.
That's dope.
Urban Radio, Top 40 Radio. So yeah, man.
You got a co-sign like Elvis Duran?
Yeah, Elvis Duran. We did today's show a couple weeks ago. That was super fun.
Kathy Lee and Hoda, shout out.
Shouts.
Oh, yeah. Were they drunk? Girls. How drunk were they?
Wasted. Like 6 in the morning.
Yeah. We smoked a joint with them after.
Yeah, and, I mean, it went
super,
on all day.
It was super tight. Yeah, we partied all day and night. I don't even remember what happened. It was like The Hangover.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We didn't realize that was going to be that kind of experience. It's the Today Show.
Hoda's in the DMs.
Yeah, exactly. Hoda's in my DMs right now. It's
yeah.
It's lit.
Yeah.
I woke up in Kathy Lee's bathroom with a panther.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, Chris, where can they find
really
you until next week?
You know, your cheeks get numb after laughing so much. That's a good feeling.
Yep.
The usual, Chris Lovar, everything. Twitter and Instagram, KRISLOVAA.
Yo, John is a child.
He is.
Yo.
He's 13 years old.
Yo.
Oh, my gosh. He says it like this, John.
Yeah, okay, guys. We get it. You're not as witty. We get it.
Yeah, you can catch me at Ron Markman R-O-B-M-A-R-K-M-A-N. And you can hit us up at RLS Podcast. We're going to let y'all go and take y'all out with Jake and Papa Starless before any of us say anything that'll get us in trouble.
Too late.
Peace. That's the motherfucking truth.